the burning passion and desire to craft the reality that I dream of. How do you define success? That's a direct result of the persistence and striving towards something and having that why. It's all about starting with that why. But why not just shoot for something huge? We're only here once. Step one is becoming obsessed with finding a purpose.
For this episode, I sat down with Aiden. Aiden is the co-founder of Red Bull Supplements. And during the second episode of the Longevity Podcast, featuring Aiden and Daniel, we spoke mostly of the rise of the Red Bull Supplements company. During this episode, Aiden and I got more on a personal level to discussing the idea of purpose and the mental models you can adopt to propel you towards success. This is the fifth episode of the Longevity Podcast. I'm glad you are here, and I know you enjoy listening. How would you describe your life up to this moment in one sentence?
I would say I've been raised right with a loving family and great opportunities ahead of me. I would say if I can all boil it down into a sentence, it would be something along those lines. I would say a life full of loving parents, great family, and a life full of opportunities that lie ahead. I would say that's, if I could boil it down into one sentence, I would say something along those lines. I think how my parents raised me and what they instilled in me and the opportunities I have, whether it be college or business or any other avenue, sports, just a lot of opportunities that lie in front of me. And I'm very grateful for that.
Are you 20, 21?
21, just turned 21 in January.
And Daniel is 22, right? Okay.
Daniel's a baby. He's going to turn 21 in May.
Okay, so you're 21. And you're co-founder of Rebel Supplements.
Correct.
That is something that, as a 21-year-old, it's not very common.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it's. It probably isn't. But I wouldn't consider myself the most normal-minded person when it comes to you. I'm a big dreamer. Let's start with that. I would say a lot of my growing up has been outside the realm of normality when it comes to. I've never necessarily wanted to follow the herd and live a life where that you go through the typical machine and you live the normal life. That's never really been the thing I wanted to do.
Would you say that's something that was instilled in you from your parents, or was that sort of self-induced?
Of course, I can't sit here and say that it was completely self-induced because, sure, I'm certain factors of my parents, like they're very – my dad's a real estate agent. My mom's a therapist. She has her own practice. So naturally, they're more entrepreneurial, small business owners in that sense. And they did that so they can be around my sister and I more growing up in sports and different events so that they can be there. They can alter their schedules to be in our lives the most. So I think that part definitely instills in me, but also the fact that it's like I've always been a dreamer, whether it started out with cars, wanting to have a bunch of cars in a garage, still do, or something about as I go older and I'm like, I want my own business. I've always never been cut off to the fact where it's I'm going to do this and I'm going to get a job and I'm going to work the rest of my life. I think I have a pretty open, and I feel like I was conscious at a younger age than most. I think I was aware, becoming more aware about life and asking deeper questions when people were focused on other things. Because I've went through my phases of I don't want to go to college, I don't want to go to school, I'll work at the restaurant, I'll save up enough money and then I'll invest and I'll do the right things and I don't need college, this and that. And they're like, Aiden, listen, like, you have no idea what college can provide you. We're not telling you have to work a certain job after college. All we're asking you is to get that degree.
Yeah.
And as I grow older each year, I understand that my parents are in support of whatever I want to do. As long as I have that backup down, I hedge my risks. And I think I've done that very well. I don't want this podcast to come across as egotistical, though. I don't want to come across as cocky, but I would not be. I'm not also not going to sugarcoat it. I am a hard worker, and I do want to make my dreams come true, and that looks a little bit unorthodox, and it's not really on par with a kid my age. That's why I have a business, been running a business with my buddy for almost 2 years now. But as far as hedging my bets and being safe and stuff, like, I have my real estate license, I have my personal training certification, I have an internship lined up at a very reputable company, I'm at a top university, I have a business going with multiple different ventures stemming from that. So it's like, why not? I understand the safety aspect of things, but why not just shoot for something huge? We're only here once.
Yes.
I saw this thing, actually. I don't know if I saved it, but it was, we are ghosts controlling a skeleton made of stardust on a floating rock in the middle of nowhere. And it was like, dream big. Do what you want. Anything's possible.
So basically you're saying that the reality that we live in is so inconsequential that we need to just shoot for the greatest thing that we can shoot for.
I think everyone should have the choice of what they want to shoot for. And if someone wants to do what's deemed as more societally acceptable and normalized, such as going to school and then getting a job, that's how we've built our society. That's how it functions. So there's not anything necessarily wrong with that. But if you want to do something that's outside those bounds, and not just by a little bit, by a lot, you're going to get met with a lot of no's, that's weird, don't do that. And a lot of these people are going to think that they're helping you out by telling you. But one thing about dreaming and shooting outside of the boundaries and the constraints of society is you have to really learn how to value the opinion of yourself, your own opinion of yourself, more than any single other person. Even your family, even your girlfriend, even your quote-unquote best friends, because you are going to control your own life. And if you – there's going to be a lot of hard times, but if you let others dictate where you end up, you're not doing yourself a favor.
What are some of the most discouraging messages that you have heard throughout the journey of building your supplement company?
I've never outright been told to my face, this is stupid, don't do that. Yeah. But it's the action. It's what's not said, and it's how you can feel and observe the support. Because everyone is going to root for you if you're doing something that doesn't really have much results. But then as you gain more results, you start to see that people didn't really care. They were, because you were below them, so to speak. And once you start gaining success, they get envious and a little bit salty. And they don't necessarily want to see you doing better than them, because they thought it was just going to be this thing that you tried out and they're going to give you your support. And the reason why I say that is because there's people out there that will tell you one thing, but words don't mean anything. Really, words don't mean anything when they come to supporting a business. You know what means something to supporting a business?
Money.
Yes. Supporting them by buying a product or promoting their brand or doing something like that. Yeah, an Instagram comment, a like, that's cool. But we spoke about it briefly last time, is buy the product. So I guarantee you know someone that uses pre-workout and you can help that way. And I'm not sitting here just asking all my friends or family for money to buy the product. My family's been very supportive about it as well. But it's subtle things like that. It's like people will tell you, oh, that's cool, that's really cool, this, that, but they won't buy anything. They won't support it. They don't, like, it's okay. Like, that's, I don't. And also, I feel like I've not isolated myself, but I've cut off a lot of distractions. And I'm from Missouri. I moved out to Florida. I didn't necessarily have a big, I don't necessarily have a big group of friends down here.
Mm-hmm.
And the friends that I do have and communicate with are more like-minded when it comes to a business mindset. And some people may think, oh, that's stupid. You should have a big social circle. You should be going out. You should be doing that. But I found a lot of peace and comfort in the solo grind, but I'm not even solo. It's I have a business partner who's great. We're talking consistently. I have a team. There's people like you who are also doing things to try and improve themselves and benefit. And even these little talks go so much farther than if I were to have a group of guys that I want to drink with twice a week for a whole year. And I'd rather do 4 podcasts. I'd get more value out of that. I think it would be a better way to spend my time. But to each their own. So I really did a long answer to that question because I haven't really been directly told, stop it. Yeah. It's stupid. It's dumb. Because frankly, I would be like, I don't have time for that. Those people aren't even going to appear in my life. And if they do want to tell me that, I'll just laugh it off. It doesn't get to me. I think I've done a very good job of priming my environment to only things that will benefit me.
Priming your environment to serve you.
Correct.
Instead of individual events that we can consider discouraging, it was just more of the would and feel from around you.
Who really supports you, you'll feel it. I've had people, I guess I'm going to go on record and say it, but you have someone that supports you and buys a tub and you don't even know the person, but you're talking to them when you're setting up to sell it or you're giving out samples. And you have someone who you've been friends with for a while and they're just like, I'll give you a repost here and there and that's it.
Yeah.
So it's like, friendship and business don't necessarily go well together. And could you have friends that are out? It's just complicated because these people are still my friends.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong, but it's homies support homies, right? Yes. I would assume any one of my friends ever started a business, I would give them as much advice.
Yes.
And I wouldn't, if it's a shirt, I'm buying the shirt. If it's a toy, I'm buying a toy and I'm going to tell people about it. But I guess you gain that insight from starting your own business.
Do you think that the reason some of your friends or some of those around you don't buy your product because it's not good?
No. And I'll say that with confidence because just from the sample size that we've dealt with, there's hundreds and hundreds of people we've given samples to. The only people we've had not actually like the product are going to have some bias towards the taste. But the formula objectively is dosed extremely well. And if people are familiar with pre-workouts, there's not necessarily a reason they shouldn't like it. With that being said, the friends or people around me that don't buy or support, they don't use pre-workout or energy drinks, which I do understand. We're not necessarily trying to convert everyone to be pre-workout junkies. But there's already a big addressable market that use pre-workout. So it's trying to get ours in front of them.
Mm.
So I think that's what comes into it. And I think there's a lot of subjectivity when it comes to taste, though. I think we have 2 flavors. We're almost out of one. Some people like Blue Razzmatazz. Some people like Pina Colada more. Maybe if we came out with a sour apple, some people would like that more than both. There's a lot of subjectivity there. But we haven't had... I don't think we've ever had anyone that comes back and is like, this is pretty mid. This is not good. Just from the workout performance, we've only gotten good things.
Yeah.
So that's the whole reason why we created it. We wanted to provide something of value. We didn't want to go the cheap marketing route like a lot of big companies do. And a lot of companies that have bankroll are able to just manufacture mid products and market the crap out of them and put them in front of everyone and people almost convince themselves that they like it. But no, I don't. I like that question because, you know, if we had a bad product, that would be an issue. That would be an issue.
Yes.
We had no room for air there. The only thing, like our pina colada was a heavier formula to mix. We had glycerides in there. It didn't mix well. It resulted in some chalkiness and grit. And if that was a big turnoff for people that are very big on texture, then I understand that. To most people, it wasn't a big deal. But that's why we went forward, and in our new and improved formula, we removed that and we altered some things around. And we've gotten better feedback from the people that used to say, oh, the chalkiness and grit, that's why I didn't reorder it. Yeah. And now they're ordering the Blue Raz, yeah, and they really like it. So it's all about trying to cater to as many people as possible. There's always going to be people out there that don't like whatever you have, no matter what.
Yes.
But we're not catering to those people.
You could be the sweetest apple, but there'll always be somebody who does not enjoy eating apples.
100%.
The reason I asked you about the discouraging moments is because I want to paint a clear picture for anyone who's listening. You're 21 years old. You're in college. You're doing a supplement business of which requires money, time, and attention. Mm-hmm. Despite these discouraging moments, you have proceeded. What would you say is the thing that gives you the strength, or rather the hope, to keep on going despite the presence of these discouraging moments or environments?
Great question. I would say it's the burning passion and desire to craft the reality that I dream of, to create my own reality. And certain moments have been harder than others, especially when we had issues with the business partner and we were halted, and you're sitting there and you feel stagnant and stuck. And that's one of the my weaknesses, is I have a very hard time dealing with being stagnant and not busy and not propelling my life to a direction that I want it to be in. So there are very challenging times for me. But we're at a point where we're starting to see the wind stack up, and we're starting to see that momentum pick up.
Yes.
And that snowball effect of that, the ball getting bigger. And it's, I wake up every morning just excited to do as much as I can to keep growing that snowball. And that's been a direct result of the persistence and striving towards something and having that why. It's all about starting with that why. And for me, that why is, of course, I do want to have a positive impact on the world and help the greater good in some way, shape, or form. There's multiple avenues I can take to get there, but also there is that human nature, and I wouldn't even call it selfish, but I want to have a life where I have time, financial, and location freedom. I don't want to be held down anywhere. I never want money to be an issue, and I want to be able to set my own schedule. I think that's a dream that I can realistically achieve, and it doesn't take a bajillion dollars. It takes systems, and it takes preferably a business, and that's the best vehicle to get there, whether if you're a solopreneur or you have a business with employees and procedures and systems in place where you're hands off. There's a lot of different ways to achieve that, but even some of the highest paying careers, you're trading your time for money. I'd rather take, I'm going to strive for a lot of money, but if you gave me the decision to make $300,000 and be tied down to a location and have to trade 40 hours a week, or you cut that back to 100K and I'm working 10 hours a week from wherever I want and I'm not held down, I'm taking that 100K, because that freedom is worth more than that 200K to me. That freedom is, that's true wealth right there, in my opinion. We are in a system, and you have to trade something to survive. And I think that's, that's how it works. No matter, there's no really way around that, but there is ways to leverage your input for a greater output and to be free, so to speak. Another big thing is, redefine what it means to actually work. We're at a top university, and yet I see so many kids having, whether it's at a library and they're chatting, they're on their phone, that's not work. I don't care if you're there 10 hours in a day, you're going to get probably 30 minutes of quality work done altogether. Deep work, turning the phone off, sitting at the desk, laser focused for an hour and a half at a time, then not going on your phone in between because you want to starve your brain of dopamine. You want to have something like a walk or a meditation, grab some food before you go in and do another round of deep work. And if you start implementing that, it really, you understand how much work you can actually get done in a focused period of time, and how much more efficient it is, and the quality of work is actually way better. And that's something I stumbled on last year. And it was hard at first because we are programmed to be short-circuited and want instant hits of dopamine. And we're used to that. And our breaks consist of stuff that, yeah, sure, we're physically at rest, but mentally we're going through just as much strain when we're scrolling and we're just giving our brains dopamine. We need our brains to be primed to enjoy doing work, to enjoy reading, to enjoy writing. And that's hard to do when we have distractions such as our phones at the tip of our fingers whenever we need them.
What do you think is one thing that many 21-year-olds or people in their early 20s get wrong about pursuing their dreams?
I think most people never really – I think many people are not honest with themselves, and they don't take time to truly sit down and think about what they want. They could have certain
– Why do you say that?
I say that because statistics. And I say that because if you look at the happiness statistics and people that are satisfied with the work they do and where they are in life, the statistics are heavily against. Majority of people are not happy in the position that they're in. And they're not living a life. I'd say majority of people are not fulfilled. And if anything, they're content in getting by. So if you bring that back to people our age,
yes,
that lack of clarity and direction and actually thinking about what you want for yourself in your life, not thinking and not taking time, truly taking time and journaling and meditating on it each day, being obsessed. If you don't know your purpose and you don't have a purpose, guess what your purpose is? It's finding that purpose. Each day, you should be figuring out the direction and your why and chipping away at it. And then eventually, once you stumble across something that serves as your purpose, you go all in for it. And your purpose can change. You can have core purposes, but a purpose works like an onion. If your purpose right now is to be the best student you can be, to land that job and to do great research, that's your purpose right now. You're not going to be a student forever, and you're not going to be doing the exact research you're doing forever. And then once you get to that point, you peel back the layer of the purpose onion, and then you get to a place where you're like, okay, what's the next phase? Okay, my purpose is to work my way up and have my own practice, and I'm going to do this. And then you go all in on that, and then you peel back another layer because there's different phases. But I'd say we're in a very important time of our lives where – they expect people to come into college knowing what they want to do afterwards.
Yes.
At 18 years old, most of them don't even have work experience. And they're supposed to pick what they want to do for the rest of their lives. I don't think that's fair. And I think a lot of it's rush. And I think because a lot of it's rush, a lot of people end up in positions where they feel like they can't even change or they're stuck and they're going to have to do it anyway and just get a degree and go. And they feel that's it. But you can do what you want to do. It may not be easy, but if you have the intention to do it at all costs, if you're willing to die for it and never give up, you'll get somewhere other than feeling stuck.
You talk about purpose. What does that look like, though? Because I'm sure some people are listening to this and they're asking themselves, if I'm to work as hard as I can towards attaining my purpose or fulfilling my purpose, what exactly does that look like? Do you see my question?
Yes, you can't.
If I were to ask you,
yes,
state a purpose, like how would you state it?
It's not necessarily something that you can tangibly achieve. You don't go, oh, I fulfilled my purpose. That's life's over, game complete. I believe purpose and fulfillment go hand in hand, and I believe that fulfillment comes through everyday actions. And you can break it down to, did I squeeze everything that I could out of the day? And you lay your head on that pillow at night and you know that you did all that you could do today. And then tomorrow, you do the same thing and you're fulfilled. You're doing your work. You understand that work that you're doing stems from your deeper core why. Let's say your purpose in life is to be a bajillionaire. That's something that's tangible. And that's also something where it's like, money doesn't work like that. And a lot of people, who doesn't want to be rich? Everyone wants to be rich, but no one, first of all, wants to put in the work, but second of all, knows how. And money really breaks down to, for the most part, it's a value. The more value you can provide to others, the more financially rich you will be. But that value and providing value doesn't, it's not linear. And that's where I feel like a lot of people get lost, is because there's no such thing as linear progress. You can go down a lot, rock bottom, stay at rock bottom, and then do a sharp climb and shoot up. And I'm tying this back to most people that are 20 years of work behind the scenes, and then one day they finally blow up onto the scene, Apple, whatever it may be, a big company, or someone becomes an overnight success. There's no such thing. There's no such thing.
80-20.
Yep. I feel like I'm tying a lot of stuff back to what you asked, but this is just my brain flowing. Mm. This is my thought process and how I like to tie a lot of things back into one question. Because I think it's hard to answer one question.
Yeah, it's entirely complex, which is completely understandable. As you said, you have your physical training license. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that. You also Thank have your you. Real estate license.
Yep.
You've been working on your supplement company. You're also a student and you're managing your relationships. What are two things between last year and now that you are most proud of achieving?
I would say the business and the relationship started around the same time and were the two biggest changes. Let's say I could separate the two, they would still be the biggest changes in my life up until that point, but the two happened together. So I'm really proud of the relationship and how it's gone and how I've grown and improved and learned to love and learned so many things I didn't even know I could learn because this is my first relationship. So it's that's been amazing. That's been a complete teacher of its own. And then also the business has been a complete learning experience and a lot of stuff. My life's completely different. I have a lot of similar core values and beliefs, but how I carry myself and where I put my time and effort and energy and how I structure each day, it's completely different. Mm-hmm. I would say those two things, and I'm proud of where I'm at in both.
Okay. So if I were to put Aiden from a year ago in front of me and Aiden today, what is one thing that is immediately recognizable that is different?
You're not just talking physically, of course. You're talking like internally, or are you talking?
Internally, since you're the one answering the question.
Knowledge. That's hard to tell, but I would just say the amount of stuff I've learned about life and human nature and business, and not even talking about school, and just how the world works, I've gained a lot of knowledge. And I've also learned a lot more about emotions and what to do and what not to do and certain words and how to just becoming more mature as a person and as a partner, as a boyfriend, learning the ropes of that. And yeah, I haven't done that before. And that's something that has, I think, maybe it brought me outside of my comfort zone because this is new, like what's going on, this and that. But as you know, getting outside your comfort zone, getting outside of your comfort zone is the best way to grow. Yes. And I think both girlfriend and business have taught me so many things. And I'm a different person as a result. I think I've matured emotionally in business and just knowledge.
I think knowledge is a very good answer. I found that to be true in my case as well, but it's very complex because whenever I think of knowledge, it's like it has given me peace and it has both tormented me at the same time. Because it's the more I've learned, the more I realize what I do not know.
The paradox.
And the more I've learned, the peace it's given me towards understanding the things that I did not understand.
Yep. You're almost welcoming learning as the process more, because you are like, I've gained all this knowledge within the span of time.
Yes.
Where am I going to be in 2 years? It's exciting.
Yes.
You know, you embrace the unknown and the uncertainty, because you know that as a result, if you're putting in effort and you have good intentions, you're going to be so much better off. You're going to be so much more knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And I spoke about it in the last podcast. If Daniel and I were to give ourselves advice starting out the business, I think we'd be where we are today in a fraction of the time.
Because of that knowledge.
It's why don't we know this? But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And I'm like, where are we going to be in 2 years?
Yeah.
We're going to be in 3 years. That's how you know you're growing.
Yes. Yes. What knowledge would you have to share with people who are listening that want to transform their lives and find their purpose? What are the 3 steps you would share with someone that they can take in order to find their purpose?
Step one is becoming obsessed with finding a purpose.
Step two.
Step two is letting go of that obsession.
What about the third?
Third is having actionable steps you can do each and every day, non-negotiables that you know will benefit your physical and mental health.
Mm. So being obsessed and then letting go of that obsession.
Yep.
Explain that to me.
Isn't it? You have to be obsessed and clawing and thinking about, what's my point on this earth? What is the purpose? What do I need to do? How do I do it? What are my dreams? What do I want to achieve? What reality do I want for myself? You need to be obsessed. You need to be pressing yourself with all this stuff. And out of that, you might discover some things that you align with more than others. And chances are you will. It's a matter of time. Some people will happen in 2 weeks. Some will be a month. And once you get to a point where you find, like, you have that baseline of, okay, I know I want to give it my all and approach X, Y, Z. Have that baseline, that seedling of purpose that you develop. Once you develop that, kind of need to completely let go. Because I truly believe that the more you want and desire and wake up, burn your desire and want to obtain that thing, and that's just clouding your mind. You're not even able to think clearly about other decisions that would lead you to an easier path to get there, and it's messing up your relationships. And you need to completely let go, because I think that if you hold something and let it take over your mind, it will block your ability to achieve it. And whether that comes in the form of journaling and meditating, and understand that if you're religious, your God, or if you're not religious, the universe or whatever you believe in, the energy is there to guide you. And you're not the most intelligent, and you don't know anything, and you're just here existing and being conscious and aware of and present. You got to transfer out of that hunger and desire into that mentality. And then after that, you have to structure your life in the most, I would say, try and optimize your life. Don't let it ruin your life. Don't over-optimize. We talked about that last podcast, but eat right.
Yes.
Exercise. Set a constant sleep schedule. Make sure you're eating properly, you're hydrated, you're moving, you're getting sunlight, your body's nourished, you're reading, you're meditating, you're journaling, you're learning something, your mind's nourished,
yes.
You're just keeping a constant schedule, you're managing your time. All these things can be done each and every day, and they have a synergy that you may not know from one day to another. Hopefully you're feeling better, but you don't even understand. Zoom out. Zoom in. Let's plan a longer time horizon here. You do that stuff for 1,000 days straight, you're going to be unrecognizable.
Yes.
And chances are you'll get more clarity. You'll mentally and physically be healthier. You'll have a clearer mind, more cognitive function, a better body. You're going to be becoming the best version of yourself. And I believe that the universe will be able to communicate with you, and you'll be able to align more with your purpose.
Yes.
The healthier you are.
Yes, that's a very interesting concept and very positive as well. Talking about synergy, one thing I want to add to that, in addition to being obsessed, letting go of that obsession and having non-negotiables, is surrounding yourself with people who are smart and chasing their purpose as well. I was talking to my uncle the other day about how I choose my guests for the podcast. And I was telling him I could sit with anyone and have a good conversation. And it came with practice and reading and learning. But what I told him is that I try to pick people who are first intelligent, able to talk, and can see the beauty in simple ideas. The example I used to share this with him was I pick people who are able to see gold in dust. I could show somebody a simple bucket of dust, and if they're not intelligent enough, or rather, if they lack the vision, they are simply going to pass that off as nothing. But if I were to present that same bucket to somebody who is intelligent and is able to see the preciousness in simple things, they can pick the pieces of gold and extrapolate from there. That's also why I picked you to come on this episode.
Thank you.
How successful do you think your plans are going to turn out to be?
Very.
Give me a number.
100%. 100%. Even if it's not what I have in mind, yes. I know it's going to be 100% of whatever the effort I put into the universe is. So I know that it will work out. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. There's going to be brutal times. There's stuff that happens that's outside of your control. But I think wherever I put my effort and intentions and I stay patient, I'll be rewarded in some way. And I may, is that ignorant to think? Is that there's people out there that, I guess everyone's different.
Is that ignorant to think that you would be successful?
Yeah.
Ask me the same question.
But what do you think?
What percentage I think I would be successful?
Yeah.
100%.
Okay, good. Just make sure we're on the same. We don't want to sound too cocky.
Yes.
But it's a lot. The reason I say that is because it comes back to the learning and the knowledge and understanding that growth is what fuels everything. And we're not just talking, like, success is not just money for people that are listening. I think a lot of people talk about success and they just talk strictly financial, which is honestly the least of what I truly think success is. And we can go into that. I'd like to ask you, what do you think success is? How do you define success? If you had a tier system, what would be the pinnacle of how you would define your success? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, different rungs.
The pinnacle of my success is keeping my commitment to myself and God. I would never want to see the day where I sacrifice my morals in order to blend in to society. Following that is the health of my relationships, and that includes the health of my family, wife, and friends. I'm not married, but I say wife in terms of the future. And everything else follows that. You can put health, fitness, clarity of mind into the first one because that is keeping a commitment to myself.
That's your truth.
Yes. But in the most abstract form, success to me is abiding by my morals and standards. No matter how poor I get or no matter how rich I get, I never want to see myself sacrifice those pillars, the tenets that I stand by. And so on a more practical level, success for me changes. For example, I started this podcast about a month and a half ago. Success for me with this podcast looks like having on great guests where we can make valuable content that will impact the lives of people who are listening. Success for me here is also making sure that I optimize my audience and I grow my audience year after year. With academics, success looks like passing on my classes, getting a good GPA, and eventually getting into medical school. Success with the gym for me looks like getting faster and stronger each year. And it goes deeper there. You definitely know exactly what I'm talking about here. You have the big goal, the thing that most people... But you have to break it down. Yeah. It gets so small to the level where you're like, okay, I'll use the gym because it's a very simple and easily digestible example. Okay, I just did a squat. Success for that set looks like having perfect form, breaking 90 degrees, and coming back up with perfect form as well. With academics, okay, how can I optimize my focus here? It's like the little changes. Do I need to put my phone on Do Not Disturb? Do I need to hydrate so I'm not waking up every 5 minutes to go to the bathroom? It's just little things that you optimize.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I would. Success is an interesting one because society's typical definition of success lies in the money.
Yes.
But I think that's really just a... The word I'm looking for here is that's really just an offshoot. You know, what if I win the lottery, am I successful? Am I, if I stumble across a bag of cash with millions in it, am I successful? No. But if I help a lot of people improve their lives and their health and, you know, they're willing to put their money into something that would benefit them, do I have money as a result of something that I base my true success on, which is helping others? Yes. And it, money could be a good indicator on the value that you provide, but it really does depend what you do. Do you think, for example, for a big trader, if he puts a call on something to strike a higher price and he places $1 million on that call and the stock goes up $100 and he made so much money, never has to work again. He was successful at his job. He provided probably value to his firm to make a ton of money on that. But I don't know if I would truly call that man successful. But yet again, it is my own biases and it is my own beliefs on what success is. Yeah, but I think it really boils down to more of internally how wealthy you are and how, you know, what are people going to say at your funeral? How many people are going to come to your funeral?
Yes.
Do you have good relationships with your family? Are you the best version of yourself? I feel like that's true success. And that's very hard to measure.
Yes. What is one message you want to share with the world?
It's okay to feel like you don't know why you're here or what your purpose is or why society is set up in the way it is or what. Just it's okay to question and feel lost and feel confused because that is the first, those are the first steps to those are the first steps to aligning yourself towards a greater purpose.
Awesome.
We'll do it. We'll do it. Yes, thank sir. You. Thanks it's been great, this, man. This awesome. I love this.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share with friends and family who you think might enjoy it as well.